Every year on the first Sunday of Lent, we hear one of the gospel accounts of the temptation of Jesus. And I think it's helpful for us to remember where the temptation of Jesus falls within his life. And we get a little hint from the beginning of today's gospel. We hear that filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan. And it was after that he was driven out into the desert. So he returned from the Jordan. So why was he in the Jordan, at the Jordan River? Well, it's because he's being baptized. So the baptism of Jesus is what happens immediately before the temptation. And I think it's really helpful for us to think about what's happening at the baptism of Jesus in order to understand what's happening at the temptation of Jesus. Now, as I was thinking about this, and thinking about this homily, I was getting a little bit excited because I always take vacation in early January, and I'm never here for the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. So I never get to preach on the baptism of the Lord. So I'm excited to be able to say a few words about it, but the point is that it's going to help us to understand what's happening during in Jesus' temptation. So if we think about the baptism of Jesus, first of all, we're talking about a tremendous mystery. And sometimes when we are thinking about these events in the life of Christ that are so familiar to us, we can kind of gloss over them, forgetting their importance. But actually, if we think about the baptism and temptation of Jesus, I mean, I think if we really think about them, we should be shocked. Like, that's an appropriate reaction to the baptism of the Lord, to the temptations of Jesus, is shock. Shock and awe at what God is doing here. What happens at Jesus' baptism? So Jesus is baptized not with the Christian baptism, which is different. Jesus doesn't need the Christian baptism because he is our baptism. So when Jesus is getting baptized by John, he's getting baptized with the baptism of John, which is a baptism of repentance. So if we think about what was happening when John the Baptist was baptizing at the Jordan, all of these people were coming from Jerusalem and even from Galilee, and they were coming to be baptized by John. And what would happen was that they would approach John at the river, they would confess their sins, and then he would dip them into the water and pull them out of the water. And actually, that's what baptism literally means. It means to be dipped into. So John dips the person in the water, pulls them out of the water, and the symbolism that's going on there is that the old life of sin is being drowned there in the water. And then he's pulling them out of the water, and they're emerging into new life. So they get a new start. It's actually very much what happens not only in baptism for us, but when we go to the sacrament of reconciliation, because there in the sacrament, Jesus drowns our sins in the ocean of God's mercy, and we emerge having been purified and cleansed, and now have a new start in the life of grace. So that's precisely why the people, why the Jews of Jesus' time were going to be baptized by John. They wanted a new start. They wanted to put the life of sin behind them, have a fresh break, so that they could live a new life. So understanding this, it's all the more amazing to think that in that line of 100 people waiting to be baptized by John, one of them was Jesus. He was just another face in the crowd. Yet he wasn't just another sinner, like you and I are, like everybody else was. He was the Son of God who had no need of repentance, yet he was presenting himself for John's baptism, which was a baptism of repentance. Why in the world was he doing that? He didn't need to repent of anything. Well, it's because Jesus was taking on, did take on, our sinful humanity. Even though he never sinned himself, he's claiming our sinful nature there. And even though he has nothing to confess on his in terms of his own sins, he's presenting himself like us as a sinner and being dipped into that water of repentance and pulled up out of that water. And as a sign of God's pleasure, the Father's pleasure with the humility of Jesus in doing this, what happens? The heavens open up. The Holy Spirit is seen coming down, anointing Jesus' head. And the voice of the Father is heard from the heavens. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased. So this humiliation of Jesus is pleasing to the Father. This uniting himself to our sinful nature, which he didn't need to do, which he didn't deserve, simply out of solidarity with us sinners, out of love for us sinners, that was pleasing to the Father. So that's the baptism. And what happens next? That same Holy Spirit that has just descended over Jesus, hovering over him in the form of a dove, and drives him from the Jordan. And you know, it's really helpful imagery here, because they're in a desert region, but the area around the Jordan, because there's a water source there, it's like a little oasis. There are trees and plants, and it's cool air there coming off the water. But the Holy Spirit drives Jesus from that Eden-like place out to the desert, where he's going to be tempted now. And so now we begin to see the consequences of Jesus' choosing to unite himself with our sinful nature. You know, on the cross, we see Jesus' descent into our humanity and his choosing to suffer physical pain. That's a part of our physicality, is part of our humanity. There we see Jesus suffering our humanity physically. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see as Jesus is so anxious there, he sweats blood, because he's so filled with anxiety there in the garden. We see there Jesus' descent into the full psychological nature of our humanity there. And here in the desert, what do we see Jesus? But he's descending into the reality of our interior life and the reality of our temptations, our being tempted. And I don't know about you, but I experience this as like one of the most miserable aspects of being human. The terrible unwanted thoughts that we can have. The terrible thoughts, desires that we can have. The unholy desires. It's very normal for people to come into the confessional distressed about the terrible thoughts that afflict them. Thoughts of violence, hate-filled thoughts, revenge-filled thoughts, or terrible thoughts towards themselves, thoughts of self-condemnations, thoughts of self-harm, or terrible lust-filled thoughts, thoughts of objectifying and taking advantage of another person. We all know what that's like. That's a part of our being human. And Jesus himself, we see today in the gospel, Jesus himself descending even into that miserable part of our humanity. And this is precisely what the scripture tells us. The scripture says, it's from the book of Hebrews, "For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. That's amazing. That in every respect, Jesus has been tempted by you are. Think of the unwanted thought that you've had or continue to have, the recurring thought that fills you with shame, fear, disgust. Jesus himself has been tempted in every way that we have. Jesus has experienced that temptation that you've experienced, that unwanted thought. Jesus has so entered into our human experience that he's even gone to that misery. Why? Because he loves you and he loves me. And he doesn't want there to be any aspect of our life that is not also his life. Any experience in our life that's not also his experience. So the only difference is that Jesus never succumbs to the temptation, but he suffers it. He suffers it. And even though we might give in to the temptation and Jesus doesn't give in to the temptation, he so enters into the experience of our humanity that he suffers the consequences of what we've done. And that's the cross, all the way to the cross. And not just the cross. Today, when we confess our faith, we're going to say that he goes all the way to hell. The suffering, the consequence of what we've done out of love for us. So he suffers the temptation. He doesn't fall into the temptation, but like if, even though we might fall into the temptation, he's willing to suffer even the consequence for our sin, my sin, your sin. So first of all, this is amazing love. It's love that is willing to be debased, get dirty, enter into those most painful and humiliating aspects of our humanity. It's amazing what humility God has, but what love he has, what love he shows in being humbled so. But this is the good news. So also from the letter of the Hebrews, this is what we hear. Jesus had to be made like his brethren in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make expiation for the sins of the people, because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. I'll say that again, because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. So first of all, because Jesus knows what it's like to suffer my temptations, the temptations that can fill me with misery and fear and self-condemnation, he has compassion for me there. He knows it's a suffering. He knows I don't want to think those thoughts. He knows I don't want to be tempted in that way. And because he himself has suffered through those temptations and stayed faithful, he can give me the grace to stay faithful in the midst of those temptations. So what good news is this for us? Jesus has suffered in my humanity and stayed faithful so that in his humanity I can suffer and stay faithful. Because he's gone before me, I have hope that he can help me to be faithful. So that's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, that instead of allowing the enemy who works through our thoughts, who's always saying things like, you're such a bad person because you think that way. How messed up you are because you think that way. That's the voice of the enemy. So because Jesus has suffered these temptations and persevered through them, we can be filled with hope that I don't have to be ashamed of the temptations. Why? Because Jesus himself suffered them. So I'm not a bad person because I suffer temptations, because Jesus, who's never sinned and is the best person, has suffered temptations. And all the saints have suffered temptations. So I actually don't have to be ashamed of my temptations. But what I can do is I can bring them to Jesus. I can share them with him without fear, without shame. I can say, Jesus, see this terrible thing that's in my head or in my heart. I bring it to you. I submit it to you. Help me. Help me to suffer through it. Help me to overcome it. Help me to be faithful. So brothers and sisters, today in this Mass, we encounter the very same one who was baptized into our humanity for our sake and descends into all the depths of our humanity, all the difficulties and challenges and suffering of our humanity. Why? So that he can redeem it all. This is what he wants to do in my life and your life, to redeem all of it. So let's not hesitate to bring all of our hearts today to Jesus as we encounter him, asking him to redeem these parts, to save these parts. And we know that he can, because he's done it himself.